Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you. And therefore, today, make room, make space, carve out time. Jesus, I welcome you into my life. That's the invitation, because he is present very often, most strongly, in ways and methods and places where we least expect him. And there's a wonderful contrast in the story of his birth in Luke chapter 2. That's what we look at today. I want you to keep in mind for a moment also, nativity scenes, Christmas pageants that you may have seen, there's a character who's often in those Christmas plays that's not actually in the Bible, not actually in the story. And that's where we're headed eventually today. Make room. Here's how the story goes. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Now, Luke is deliberately drawing a great contrast here. We start by mentioning the ruler of the world, Caesar Augustus. And he's the one that's got all the power. He believes himself to be in charge. He issues a decree, because that's what rulers do. That's what leaders do. They make an order and everybody does what they say. So if we were going to look at the org chart of the world as Caesar saw it, there would be Caesar in charge of the world. And then there's this little place called Syria. Interesting that Syria is in the news right now as a place where the leadership is very uncertain and the need for peace is great. And then there would be this little place called Judah, where there's Bethlehem, and then you may not even be able to read these names, but there's this guy, Joseph, and then under him, this young pregnant girl, Mary, and then a little baby that's going to be named Jesus. Now, that's the way that Caesar would have understood the world. There was a quote from about him in an ancient inscription, "Divine Augustus Caesar, son of a god." You'll notice how the New Testament, as it describes Jesus, is going to be subverting all of these titles. Imperator of land and sea, the benefactor and savior of the whole world. And so Caesar, who everybody knows is in charge, issues a decree. People got to register. You'll notice that that word census or register is used four times in this little passage. Luke is underlining the fact that Caesar is the guy who thought that he was in charge of the world. So he sets in motion a chain of events. However, how surprising that one of those tiny little events with a person that he never knew, in a land that he never visited, in a place that he didn't even dream about, was that a man named Joseph went to a town named Bethlehem. And there's a second purpose at work, as there is in your life, in the events and circumstances that are going on, and in mine. There is the way that things look in this world. Caesar's census, this registering, of course, was all about money, taxation. I have a friend that says, follow the money, because money rules the world, and it does, but it doesn't. And the wisest of us have always known that ultimately hearts are not inspired just by trying to get richer or more powerful. We think that's what runs the world, but deep inside we understand we know better. And Caesar's not in control. There was a mathematician, Edward Norton Lorenz, and he described what he called the butterfly effect. The idea of the butterfly effect is very small events can sometimes have staggeringly great and unpredictable consequences. And a famous article about that talked about how a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil could impact a tornado when it arose and where it would land in Texas weeks later. Alan Turing from the UK wrote, "The displacement of a single electron by 1/1,000,000,000 of a centimeter at one moment may make the difference between a man being killed by an avalanche a year later or escaping from it." We are not in control the way that we think we are. And in fact, Luke is saying precisely this. There is another purpose that's going on here. So there's another way of looking at the org chart of the universe. And here we have God at work. And then we have Jesus, who is going to make God known to our world. Appears to be this insignificant little baby in a manger, come back to the manger, and then there's the world, and then there's this town called Bethlehem, and Caesar's way down here. And so the Bible says, actually, the way that the world is running is quite different than the way the world thinks that it's running. Caesar issues a decree, sets everything in motion, like Yertle the turtle, if you know that old book, "I'm the king of all that I see. All these other turtles are way down beneath me." But in the story of Yertle the turtle, a tiny little turtle named Mac gives a burp, and that disrupts the throne of the king and the throne of Caesar. The rule of power is going to be changed. Because what happens is, as a result of this decree that Caesar thinks is just his idea, just his power, it sets in motion a string of events where one obscure man named Joseph leaves his town and goes to a city called Bethlehem, where, as it turns out, a prophetic prediction was made many centuries ago. This is in Micah chapter 5. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." And once again, the small are great. The last are becoming first. Everything's being turned upside down. And the one who will rule the world, you know, today, there's not a lot of people who gather together week after week to follow the ways of Caesar Augustus. Not a lot of people who serve him. But billions serve that little baby that was born in Bethlehem. And Luke writes about this in the first century when there's hardly any followers of him at all. What are the odds? Now, he goes to Bethlehem, so let's say a word about Bethlehem. Kent Bailey writes wonderfully about this, that Bethlehem played a wonderful role in the birth of Jesus that has often not been understood. People's picture of this often is that Joseph and Mary go to Bethlehem and they can't find any place for Jesus to be born, so they got to go to a barn somewhere. It's not quite the way that it works. You might notice this translation said there was no room for them in the guest room. In the old King James says there was no room for them in the inn. But actually, that's not the best translation of the word that Luke uses. In the story of the Good Samaritan, you might not remember, the Good Samaritan is taken or takes the beaten man to an inn. And the different word is used by Luke in that story from this passage. Actually, when Jesus sends his disciples to find a man who's got an upper room, a guest room where they can meet for the Last Supper, exactly the same word is used there. Ken Bailey writes how typically in peasant homes in ancient Palestine, there would be kind of a little lower section to the home or maybe a little cave built into the earth. And at night, animals would be brought in there. So there'd be an indentation like a manger. And then during the day, they would be let out. That would be part of the home of somebody. So actually, he says in Bethlehem, the idea that Joseph, a son of the village, a son of David, would come and not receive hospitality and not be welcomed there is unthinkable and would be kind of slurring Middle Eastern culture. So the idea of the story is actually somebody made room for Jesus. A peasant family who already had other folks, if they had a guest room, that spare room that would be in their place, said, no, we will make space for you. Most likely that's the correct way to understand this story. So there's not actually an innkeeper. there was a movie that came out a while ago where one of the kids was saying, I got a part in the nativity play. I'm the first lobster. And the mom says, there was more than one lobster at the birth of Jesus? Duh. So wasn't actually a lobster there. Wasn't actually an innkeeper in this story. Somebody made room. Somebody made space. The village of Bethlehem is a place that prized hospitality, and David would have made space. So now the invitation is to me today, to you today, make room for him. Make space for him. And we do that first of all in our time. You're doing that right now. That's a really good thing. And then we got not too long ago a little gift for our front door with the pet names that little people who we love have given to Nance and me. And then just with that word, welcome. And today, all through the day, right now, just welcome, Lord. Welcome into my life. And then identify what might keep you from doing this. For me today, it can be the heaviness of my own inadequacy and feeling like, who am I with as fallen as I am? And the mistakes and the opportunities that I've missed, who am I to brazenly say welcome? And yet that's the gift of grace. He comes not to Caesar first, Caesar too. If Caesar wants, he'll come to Rome too. He'll come to New York too. He'll come to Southern Cal, but he comes to Bethlehem. He just comes to the most obscure, unlikely places and people like me. So don't let your own guilt, your own inadequacy, your own failure, your own disappointment, or your own marvelous achievements and strength and self-sufficiency get in the way. Just make room. He who came and was wrapped in swaddling clothes and was laid in a manger, he will come into your life today. He will come into your heart today. The butterfly effect is still at work. The orders and decrees of the high and mighty are not actually running this world. It ain't really all about the money. It's really not. It's really about the self-offering love of the God who made you and me, who has become present in our world and in your life and mine, in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord is with you.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name's Tim. I'm a part of the team here at Become New, and I live in Minnesota, so it's freezing where I am. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future teachings from John as we walk through the Christmas story a few verses at a time. You can also visit our website, becomenew.com, to find more teaching just like this. And if you've got a prayer request, please text it to us so we can pray for you. You can text it to the number 855-888-0444. Thanks for joining us. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time.